I want to greet all of you. Yamuna is here also, Hare Krishna. and tell you how, yeah, I feel like a pilgrim who has returned with so many gifts which Krishna gave into my heart, and I do hope that some of them I can share with all of you. Today is a very important lecture, I think. I'm very happy with the content, and I think it's very hope-giving what you will hear today. So we will start. What is the verse for again? Good, yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Ekanti, diese Ragini reist um die ganze Welt. Das haben gefallen. Danke. Dankeschön. Ganz herzlichen Dank. Danke, danke. Thank you. Wow, it's beautiful. I should also greet my internet audience. I welcome you to this broadcast and do hope that I will be able to answer some deep spiritual questions in your... Because I would really like to address the question, first of all, does God hear our prayers? And if yes, how do we pray to Him? Is there a prayer manual in our tradition? And I will address a few doubts on the way and like this. So let us... Kunya Vihani Jaya Dhatha Madhava Kunya Vihadi O Gopi Jana Vallabha Divara Dhani Jana Vallabha Divara Dhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Praja Janardhanjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Janardhanjana Amunat
tira mana jaane shyamuna tira mana jaane Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe.
Zu sehen. Vishwadev, Haribol, Vishwadev, schön dich zu sehen. Hare Krishna. So, yes. Before I start speaking on how to pray, I would like to tell you my own relationship to the subject matter. I must say, as a child, I prayed regularly to God, but I was not so sure that He would really listen to me, because I didn't see any change. When I prayed for something, it did not come, really. When I came to practice Krishna consciousness, I met many people. I was a traveling preacher who would ask me regularly to pray for them. Sometimes these people were ill and they wanted to have, they were afraid of a surgery, and they wanted to have the support of a devotee and the support of God. And I really always thought, well, does it really utilize? Is it of benefit if I pray? Will the Lord listen to my prayer? But because many times people came to me and again asked me, I said, well, I better take this serious. And perhaps since the last 5 years, I have prayed to Krishna on behalf of many people. I've prayed also for my own things, and I discovered a few rules of prayer which I feel confident to share. I for instance, discovered when prayer did not work. But I also have seen many, many instances where the prayers worked miracles. I mean, really, things like people who were on their deathbed and prayers were done for them, and they miraculously were healed, and the doctors could not believe it. They say, of course, we know in medicine something like spontaneous healing. It is something when all of a sudden a patient turns around, so to say, or his development turns around, and radically he becomes better. There is something, it comes under the category of spontaneous healing. But the way these things happened, in what I saw, was clearly, I would say, divine intervention. Divine intervention, göttliche Intervention in Deutsch. Also, dass Gott da reinkommt. So now, when I was in Vrindavan this year, I came to a point where I turned to Krishna also. What had happened is Vrindavan has become very much populated now. There are times, my dear devotees, when you cannot cross the road because there are so many people on the road that you are stuck. Not only are the traffic is the traffic stuck, that's already hopeless, but your own movements are stuck. I think you have never seen such a situation. At least I think I can always go through any, I'm a Swami and everyone, if I wave my alarm cloth, everyone makes breath. But here it didn't work any longer. So this means more people, more tourists. It means everything becomes louder. The sanitation systems is hopelessly clogged up. There's so much human waste that the canalization system can't deal with it any longer. Yeah, the crime rate, the prostitution rates, all this goes up. Of course, when there are many people, not all people are good, or some people want to become good. And really, also Brijbasis say something has changed in the atmosphere. It's just so full and so clogged and so loud and so noisy and so cold and so hot and so everything too much that my own systems, we all have a system how we deal with the world. We're overloaded, I could say. And I could see it's difficult to find a peaceful place and to do what I'm used to do in the month of, what I'm doing in the month of Kartik. I need some peace. I have to be able to listen to my own thoughts. If the world is so loud out there that I can't think any longer or have anything going on in the heart. But I didn't want to lose my Vrindavan. I didn't want to become critical. I did not want to use that sweet relationship to Krishna and so on. One of my disciples came to Vrindavan, was shocked to see the change, and immediately after a few days gave up and was flying back. I did not want to accept such a defeat. I wanted to do what every pilgrim has to do and has to learn. I wanted to do what every devotee has to learn, perhaps, to come from the material perception of things, you know, with what our senses tell us, and see the spirit, see the soul, see God, and so on. And I knew there was a curtain now of Maya, which covered the Vrindavan, you know. When we speak of Vrindavan, we don't speak of the buildings which have recently appeared. We don't speak of the garbage which is lying on the street. We don't speak of overpopulation. We are talking about the forest where Krishna still walks today. Do you follow? No, yes. We want to have contact with that Krishna. Vrindavan can be only seen with eyes of love, just like Krishna himself can only be seen premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, with eyes that are full of love. Spiritual reality can not be seen with the eyes. It can be felt with the heart. No? Perhaps you remember the famous French poem. He says, all the important things in life cannot be seen with the eyes, but with the heart. No? You remember? I have a pen where this is on the pen. Love, how will you see love? Dedication, devotion, joy. You can see the expression of joy on the face of a child, but can you see what the child feels when it is jubilant? These things can be seen with other eyes, these important things. Anyways, so yes, so what did I do? I turned to Giriraj in prayer. I prayed as good as I could, and I felt he was reciprocating. Many things changed from that moment. So here is the old question. Can I, a conditioned soul, turn to God in prayer, and will he answer? Are you with me with the question? Is it a question which is relevant to your life? Elias, in your hectic life, do you have sometimes a moment where you stop and think, can I turn to the Lord in prayer? Isn't it? That's why we are devotees. We believe in the Lord. First of all, you must know Krishna has made a promise. He has made it out of his own accord. He says, paritranaya sadhunam. He wants to help those who are on the spiritual path. That's why he appears in this world. So anyone who walks the spiritual path, the Lord is dedicated to help them. And this is expressed in a prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, which I would like to chant with you. It can be found on the blackboard. Please chant it. Those who are in the internet and want to read it, it's 7912. I repeat, 7912. Prahlad Maharaj is finding himself surrounded with a materialistic civilization. It is most probably the most powerful material civilization that ever was on this planet. It was ruled by a great materialist, an asura, Hiranyakashipu. And he asks himself the question, can I turn to the Lord? I'm from this really bad background. And he said like this, Tasmad aham vigata viklava ishvarasya. Say Tasmad aham vigata viklava ishvarasya. Savat mana mahigrinami yata manisham. Savat mana mahigrinami yata manisham. Nicho jaya guna visaga manu pravishta.
Nicho jaya guna visaga manu pravishta.
Pujeta yena hipumam anuvanitena. Pujeta yena hipumam anuvanitena. I will immediately go to the translation because of time. And I request you, in this lecture, it is a little different. You will have to listen attentively because I will ask you to perform a little task afterwards. And I know that no one of you wants to fail doing this task. I know it already. I can't tell you now what it is, but. So you have to listen, and I might ask Valentina to write down something on the blackboard. So do you have a schwamm, you know, already? No, wait, Valentina. Peaceful, Shanti. Is there something to erase the thing? I will tell you when the time comes. So he says, although I was born in this materialistic family, and he was the son of the emperor, Hiranyakashipu, I may without a doubt, there's no doubt, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. And then he makes a general statement. So he says, yes, I can turn to the Lord in prayer as far as my intelligence allows. Then he says something about anyone, all of us here. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Prabhupada says, with devotion one should feel God is great and I'm small. Very small, in fact. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. I'm his, he is my master, he's like my father, and I, because I'm so small, like a little dependent child, it's my duty to, if I go through life, to offer prayers to the Lord. There are a few reasons why we turn to the Lord. I always say to people who turn to me, when you see your own limitations and you can't do something with your own might and strength, it's high time to turn to the Almighty. So Krishna has these qualities that he can help. The first quality, this comes from the prayers of Gajendra, is he's muktaya. He is liberated from all problems of this material world. He's above. And only the liberated can liberate. If I'm bound, hands and feet, someone else who is bound cannot help me. Only someone who's unbound can help me. The next is, so he is capable because he is free from all limitations of material energy. But I asked you, is capability the only criterion if someone helps? He's criterion whether someone helps or not. Let me make it very clear. There are so many rich people. They are capable to help us to build everything in one which we need to and want to build to make this more attractive, Goloka Dham. They could just go whoop and give all what is needed, the Lakshmi, the workers, the intelligence, the everything. But is that the qualification, capability of someone help? Obviously not. They must be willing to help and want to help. Otherwise, just capability alone is not good. And Gajendra says, this is exactly why I turn to you. You are Bhuri Karunaya. That means unlimitedly merciful. But is capability and mercy already enough? No, Gajendra says, you have a third quality, Krishna. That's why I turn to you. It's Namo Alayaya. Namo Alayaya. You are attentive to the devotees. As Paramatma, you stay in everyone's heart. And Pratita Pradyak Drishe, you directly observe everyone's activity. As the Super Soul, the Lord's eye are on you all the time. However, he does not intervene. He lets karma take care of your life. However, Namo Alaya, Krishna is attentive to his devotees. That means he's aware of Gaurahari's thoughts. I mean, why Gaurahari alone? Every one of us. He's aware, he knows what's going on. But he knows that of everyone. That's not special. But he's attentive. He takes serious what a devotee thinks because he is attentive to his devotees. He's aware of everyone else, but attentive, that means interested to help to his devotees. And Bhagavate Brihate Namaste. This is you, my dear Lord. You are the unlimited Lord Krishna. He's capable. What else? He's merciful, that is willing to help. And the third, he is attentive to the devotee. No? He is interested to help. He's not, and so on. However, my dear devotees, there is one law of spiritual life, which, forgive me for the graphic display, is as true in all circumstances as the law of gravitation. When I let go of this cartel, there's only one particular direction in which it goes. It will drop to the floor and rest here. In the same way, there is one rule when you turn to the Lord. It's the law of reciprocation. I think you remember the verse. Yeyatamam papadyate tamstataiva bhajam yaham mama vacht manuvartante manushya pata sarvasha. It can be found in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. text 11. This is really what you need to know and understand when you turn to Krishna. In the degree in which you turn to him, the Lord responds. There's a verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya. It says, Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on... What could it be? Yeah, the love of his devotees or affection. When you turn to Krishna, make sure the real you turns to Krishna. It's the soul who has the natural quality to be dependent on Krishna. Being obliged only by affection, not by money, not by influence, not by high family degrees, only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. Prabhupada, because this is so important, my dear devotees, the Lord wants to see you being affectionate to him and turn to him with affection. Prabhupada explains this. Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful. But his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Rupa Goswami echoes this understanding. He says that Krishna cannot be gained even by much sadhana. Now, I had a discussion with this on this point about with disciples in Vrindavan. These disciples are very practiced in practicing austerities. Yes, there are such devotees in Krishna consciousness. They do make a sacrifice for their spiritual advancement, and they did a lot of sacrifices in their lives. But it was not going well for them. And I told them, my dear devotees, you have to understand, our Lord cannot be impressed by doing a lot of things. You have to do what you do with affection. You know, I know this. I'm trying to chant many extra rounds in Vrindavan, but sometimes I feel so dry. And I'm asking myself, what? This is so... And yes, I feel dry whenever I've forgotten that this is the process of bhakti. It's not jnana or yoga where you take things in your own hand. Krishna might even say, why do you torture yourself so much? Do you think this is how I will be impressed? I want your love. So, yes, he says so in the Gita, no? If one offers me with bhakti, a leaf, what else? Water, flower. And if it's done with love, he says two times the word bhakti, then I accept, only then. He doesn't need your flower, nor does he need your efforts to chant many extra rounds. Of course, the Garuda Purana says, love, one manifestation of love is you want to do something for the person you love. Isn't it? Elias, when the person you love says, could you do this please for me, Elias, I'm not able to do it myself. You, if you really love the person, you don't say, no, do it yourself, try to get someone else. You feel it is an honor to do something. So you can't say that, okay, Krishna only wants love, so let me chant one round really good. Let me do every month one service in the temple, not more. that does not show so much love, you know, when you know that Krishna likes this to be praised. He likes we come and do something. Bhakti is not just devotion, it's devotional service. Prabhupada got this idea from the Garuda Purana to translate bhakti not only with the word devotion like it is done in many academic books. He said it's devotional service. You know, you when you really have bhakti, you want to do service. If you do not want to do service, it means your love for Krishna is still growing. It's still in the infant state, and when it is grown more, you will want to do service. So at this stage, let us make a pause and let us invite the skeptic to enter our discussion. Okay, you have said that the rule of prayer is Krishna is reciprocal to the devotees. He reciprocates with the devotee. But what, and you have given the example of a prayer by Gajendra, who prayed to Krishna as the one who is liberated, unlimited, merciful and attentive to the devotees. But, you know, I do have a problem. I don't think I'm really a developed devotee. Yes, I'm part of this Hare Krishna Hare Rama movement. I do believe in an almighty Lord. I always believed like this. This is a Christian concept. I was born in it. But if I'm really honest, I don't feel I have much devotion. How can you see that, say, test a little your devotion? My devotion, have you ever had a good friend, Elias? You have? Now a little bit more. This I won't ask Elias, I will ask others. Have you ever felt something like love? You no need to answer it loudly. Ask yourself this. How can you say that you really love the person or like your friend? What will happen if you really love and like someone? Love or liking will bring the person often in your mind. I think our Natasha has a son. I saw the son, and I think you, as any mother does, you love your son, especially when they are smaller, you know, and they're so dependent on the parents. You think all the time of the son. Prabhupada used to say, you always think of Krishna, and he gave the example of a mother. When the mother sees a little shoe, my baby, she thinks already of the baby. Anything reminds the, so that's love. I think we Westerners have difficulties in loving because we have been so often disappointed in love. Because everything is so complicated, but do you agree with me? When you really love someone, then you think of them, and you think of them favorable. You also think of someone whom you hate. That is what we Westerners know. When we hate someone, really, he's all the time in my hair, you know. And anything which comes we up in life, we think, oh, this person. So this is what we Westerners know. But love is, you think even more of the person when it's strong. So you can say, like, I think every day, like, I at least I feel like this. Oh, my love of Krishna is very young still. It is not so developed as of yet. And do I? Yes, we hear that there is a relationship between a devotee who prays to Krishna, but what if I'm not such a devotee? Now, Narada Muni addresses this concern. It is strange that he addresses, or let us say, it tells us something that he addresses this concern in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Because you need to know in bhakti that if I'm doing this service for Krishna, he cares and he receives it and he notices it. He's attentive, even though I may be a beginner in the world of divine love. What Narada Muni says is found in the first canto, fifth chapter, text 19, in case you want to read it afterwards. Navai jano jatuka ta katana vrajan. Kato. Oh, I can't read it here. Anyways, we don't speak so good Sanskrit, so I will go to the English. Narada Muni tells something to his disciple Vyasadeva. My dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna may sometimes fall down, it means in his bhakti he's now down, no? Somehow or other it may happen. He certainly does not undergo material existence like others. He speaks of the materialistic people. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember the ecstasy again and again. So if the devotee who is not so active maybe and or not so developed in his love, who doesn't feel inspired to do service and or to chant and so on, but he remembers Krishna. In our Hare Krishna movement, we have these alumni meeting. Alumni means when old devotees come together. What is it called? How do we call these projects? No. When older devotees meet, then union or what? Reunion, no? Prabhupada disciple reunion. So my brother told me he went to the Prabhupada disciple reunion in Sweden. And what he found out was that many are not so active any longer like they were, or at least they are not active in the, you know, like they were in the mission of Krishna consciousness. They may do something like esoteric counseling and so on. But, I mean, there are also, it's an open secret. There are a few Prabhupada disciples who are very active. The majority pursues their own lifestyle. But, when it comes to sharing the old experiences, they get tears in their eyes. They remember how they were engaged in service. Oh, how we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, took a cold shower. Wow, we were so enthusiastic. We could walk through closed doors, you know. And they find great, great inspiration in it. And they will say, well, this was the best time in my life. So they remember. Many of those who come to Krishna consciousness after some time are not so active, but they come for Jamashtami. So if they don't forget Krishna, then Krishna will not forget the devotees, because that's his promise. For Krishna, relationships are, here's the word, new word for you, most probably, reciprocal. You know, he reciprocates. So, and what even the sufferings of someone who is not so enthusiastic any longer, like most of us, the suffering of because it's easier. I mean, it's easier said than done to become pure. This, we might have underestimated the challenge which is there. Prabhupada says the sufferings of an orphan, zu Deutsch ein Waisenkind, and the orphan, do you understand what this means? A child who has lost both of his parents. They died. That's an orphan. I don't know what it's in Russian. Orphanitsky, maybe. Oh. What do we say in Russian? Yeah, this word seems to be the right one. The sufferings of an orphan and the suffering of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of the capable father. What does vigilance mean? I asked Gokrishna and he googled the word. Vigilance means the action or state of keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. So, whereas, a devotee may somehow or other sometimes be not up to the standard. He may not be fallen, but I wanted to speak about this verse, even in the versest case where he is fallen. But my examples with the Prabhupada reunion, these devotees are wonderful devotees. You know, their external circumstances have changed, but in their hearts they think of Krishna from time to time, and remember this as the when they were fully engaged at the best time in their life, no? So, but they may not be so much up to the standard, like all of us are sometimes not so up to the standard. But Krishna keeps an eye. What is the English word? Careful watch for any possible danger or difficulty. That is what happens. Whereas a non-devotee has no one to take care of him. Only their karma takes care of them. So, with this, I wanted to say how Krishna takes care of his, how Krishna can be approached by any of his devotees, even if someone is a fallen devotee. Even then, which I don't think any one of you is, nor do I think any of the Prabhupada disciples who come to reunion and who are no longer so. Of course, I don't think they are. They have done so much and now they may have to take care of their life, and they do whatever they can do, worship deities, chant rounds, read in the books and treasure this. as the treasure of their heart, and therefore they want to come to reunion. But anyone can turn to Krishna. And I think the best example is really Gajendra. Do you know the Gajendra Moksha and Katha? Who does not know about Gajendra? It's no one wants to show their hands. Yes, we. I know this guy. Who knows about Gajendra? When you raise your hand, I will ask you. So better be careful. Yeah, I live in this movement since a long time. I know you in and out. Yeah. So who knows about Gajendra? Be prepared. I will ask you. Let me take an unlikely candidate now. The hands go down now. Oh. Gajendra had been a very, very deep devotee. He was the king Indradyumna. But then, somehow or other, as the text says of Narada Muni, he committed an offense against a saint, and the saint took it very careful, very, very personal, and he cursed him to become an elephant. Now, an elephant is, at least that's what they say, but I don't think it's true. But normally they are considered to be a little, I don't know, a little covered. But elephants, do you know, they're highly intelligent animals. But somehow the saint thought you must become a dumb animal. Dumb is sowas wie abgestumpft in German. So Gajendra was not up to the standard. He was in the elephant body. How can he change rounds, you know, or remember anything? He was just enjoying with his herd of elephant ladies, you know, there's usually one elephant bull and then 20 or so elephant ladies, which belong to him, and he is freely enjoying with them and giving them children and so on. So Gajendra was, you know, the king who became an elephant. But still, even in the elephant body, when he was in danger, he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him and saved him very, very, very nicely. So this is also what Krishna will do with every one of his devotees. He doesn't give anyone up. He is attentive, and therefore everyone can enter the world of prayers. What do you think about this? They can enter the realm of this and experience miracles. I will end my class. I had a discussion with an elderly devotee who is now very, you know, he cannot move any longer so much. He cannot do so many things. And I asked him, how is your spiritual life going? And he said, wonderful. I said, yes, and what is your doing? Do you chant now many rounds? He said, Maharaj, I can't concentrate on rounds. I'm so old. So how? He looked so happy and so brilliant. And I said, so what do you do? He said, Maharaj, I pray. I said, that's very interesting to me. What do you experience in your life of prayer? He said, the Lord answers prayers. And what I used to do, the Lord makes up for this. He's so kind. He's so merciful. He has come into this world to help his devotees, Paritranaya Sadhunam. The Lord just seems to have waited for 60 years, so he's a very old devotee, that I turn to the Lord and pray, 60 or 55 or something, 57 years, I forgot. My dear devotees, Krishna might have just waited for you to turn to him in prayer. And I said at the beginning, there are prayers which, in my experience, work very nicely and directly, and others not. We have already one parameter. Do you remember what should be the ingredient of prayers? When does the Lord reciprocate? The affection, yes, yes. The real, that means the soul. The soul has affection. The real you must turn to the Krishna. But based on the prayers of Queen Kunti, I wanted to do all this in one go, but I see I better stop here, otherwise it's an information overload. Based on the prayers of Queen Kunti, there are four elements in prayer which turn your prayer into, if you do them, if you don't forget to do them with affection, remember, it's not just a technique, there must be affection, which is the main element, or some form of impersonalism, you know. If you do this, then it works. So I'm inclined, yes, I've prepared a lecture for this evening to welcome all our guests for the Sangha Mela. But I think I will say what I wanted to say. I wanted to say how one can best spend the Sangha Mela, but I can do this briefly because everyone is intelligent who is here. And then why don't we go this evening through the four elements of prayers? And then I can see who's there and see who was interested in the subject matter of prayer. No, I'm joking. I have all these bad jokes from North Germany. And I know some of you can come. Others have planned something else for the evening. Don't worry. If you are interested, it will be recorded and you can see it later or listen to it later. The four elements of prayers based on the prayers of Queen Kunti. It's really wonderful. Because Queen Kunti, when she turned to Krishna, I mean, if you hear her story, what happened to her, why she turned to Krishna and prayed, your eyes will fill with water. It's so moving, really. And how she did it. I want to end here because otherwise the information is too much and I have no time for your questions. Let me see. Does any one of you have questions? I saw one question here, another question there, and Venukan. Was? Venuja hat auch eine Frage. So, I saw Bhanu Nandini first. Please ask your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for this very, very inspiring presentation. My question is, how do we come to that place in us with the real new praise? Because many times we pray maybe from the mind or from some understanding that we want something and then we see Krishna does not respond. But I guess we all have experience when we are really in that place that immediately response comes. And also I have a second question which is related to this. Sometimes we may fear to ask that real prayer because things may change if Krishna answers.
It's related, the second. Let me first concentrate on the... Do you also experience this, that it takes sometimes a long time before we are really able to say heartfelt prayers? No? Yes. Usually the real, it happens when you have no other, when you understand I have no other one to turn to. Like Gajendra, you know, he was attacked when he took his bath with all his, with the herd. Herd in English, you know, Herde in Deutsch, herd, no? He was attacked by a crocodile which was stronger than him. And it was clear to him after fighting with the crocodile for some time. It was a fight. It was so amazing that even the demigods were surprised. It was really a fight. Like, but then Gajendra had to realize, I'm losing here. And at that time, when he understood, I cannot save myself with my own strength any longer. Then he was turning to Krishna and he said this prayer, my dear Lord, you are liberated, you are very merciful, and you are attentive. And although I'm a fallen devotee, I'm now in the elephant body, still you never give up on your devotee. So I'm turning to you now. And it's interesting, in the Bhagavatam text, it said what he did. He placed everything in his heart. He was really here. Everything in his heart. Manomadye Hrida. It's also when you hear in the seventh canto the prayers of Prahlad, there again you see that the Sanskrit text says he placed his whole attention in the heart. He was really there. And he was really praying. Now, how do we come to this place without being placed in danger? This is a very good question. I want to say, there was a time in my life when I resided here and I had just come out of the hospital after I had undergone surgery, and I could not yet walk normally. And then I was here to recuperate, but then I was diagnosed with cancer. And then it was clear I couldn't take it any longer. I had spent all my willpower on trying to survive, trying to recuperate. And now even a bigger challenge was there. And I understood I won't be able to go through this on my own. And I remember I put shoes on. I was in the guest house. It took me half an hour to put the shoes on, but I wanted to go alone. Then it took me maybe 20 minutes to come from the guest house here. Then I put the shoes out and I went to the deities. And it was in the afternoon, no one was in the temple. And I prayed really from my heart, you know, I really prayed, my Lord, I must say I don't feel ready to face this cancer, you know, and the suffering which it brings. And can I give a promise to you? If you heal me from this, spare me from this, then I will become a good devotee. You know, I will do more service. I know it's really the lowest level of devotion, but I'm now on the lowest level. That's where I am. So I prayed from that level. And I remember, yes, when I left the temple room, I felt confident somehow. I did not know if I would get cancer or not, but if I, whatever would happen, I knew the Lord had heard my prayer. You feel that when you talk to Krishna. Sometimes a flower falls down, then you know, or something. But this, it was not such a dramatic response. I don't remember, at least now. But I knew the Lord had heard my prayer, and I thought, fine, now I can. Now everything is in good hands. But we obviously don't all, we don't want to come to this situation. There is one word, Bhanu Nandini, of one little thing you have to learn. It's called sincerity. You have to be sincere and see your situation, all this. What is it really? And if a sincere devotee will be able at any time in his life or her life to understand, I'm dependent on Krishna. I'm alone. I can only go so far. This is what a devotee is. He feels dependent on Krishna, and with the vision of sincerity, you can see that. How do you become sincere? You become sincere. Listen now very carefully. This is something new for you. If you are aware of the necessity of your life, if you are aware of the goal, therefore, those who are in Krishna consciousness, the older devotees, keep on stressing, you must read the Bhagavatam. Then you engage your mind with the ultimate goal of your life, and then you very easily see who you are at the present moment. You don't fall so easily in illusion. But it's so easy to fall into the illusion. It's so easy. It can happen so easily. We are all so prone, heißt so anfällig, to fall into illusion, so, and to forget. So therefore, there is a word I heard in Vrindavan, prayojan bodh. Bodh means an awareness of the prayojan. Prayojan can be translated as the goal. It can also be translated as the highest necessity. No? That awareness comes only when you are always refreshing that awareness. I remember when I learned to drive on my bicycle. I had so many accidents you can't believe, you know. There are parts of my body which still show the scars, you know. And I like to drive bicycle without steering it, to go freely. That was my style, you know. I thought it's so boring to steer like everyone else. Let me, you know, this is much more interesting. But if you want to drive in this style, I'm a little crazy, I know what to say. If you want to drive in this style, you have to pay a little attention, you know, that you are now, you know, now you must be a little bit more attentive to where you're going, because zoom, the bicycle can, and if there's a stone on the road, boom, the wheel turns around. You must be more attentive if you go freestyle. And I was talking to my friends and enjoying the fresh air, and I often fell from the bicycle three times, but that was enough for me. When you go fast and you go, so So you must be attentive, aware of your real goal. And that is cultivated and refreshed by regular hearing. But most of the Hare Krishnas never read. They don't listen to classes. They just work, 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 according to their karma, you know. And then, yes, then we are inattentive on the path of spiritual life. I think, Bhanu Nandini, I leave it with this because your second question, we can talk, you know, is there someone, did I, yes, you. What is your good name again? Pratik. Wonderful, Pratik.
Thank you for the question. So, my question is, of course you talked about when we fall down, we still pray. But there are some situations when we fall down, but we know that we have made some mistakes and we have fallen. But the guilt is so much that even for us to pray, it becomes hard, thinking that, you know, like, yeah, we don't deserve.
We don't deserve, yes.
Yeah. So how do we still motivate with that guilt? Because the guilt might be sometimes a lot. And then we just beat ourselves thinking that, you know, maybe we don't deserve it.
My dear Pratik, this is a known reaction. Yet I think I've met a few devotees who felt like this. Either they feel they don't deserve it or they think they're anyways hopeless. That they tried but it did not work so far. This is... you must know what this feeling is to deal with it. It's double maya or double trouble. The first trouble is you have been covered with the material energy. And now the second trouble which comes is that the only way to come out of it is blocked because of the feeling of either guilt or hopelessness. It's double trouble. It's the working of the material energy. From whatever position in life you are, the Lord does know that it's not easy for you. And He hears your prayer. There is a very nice devotee who once said that we should never judge fallen devotees. He said, because we don't know how often they have prayed to the Lord. And the Lord, don't let us not forget this rule. He is reciprocational. It's in other words, not justified on the bhakti path to stop due to guilt or hopelessness or any other thing. This is not correct, you know. The Lord will hear you. But make sure that the real you prays. I always say, not London prayers. In London, people speak and think differently. By the way, they do so in Frankfurt also. They do so in Birkenfeld, in Saarbrücken, and so on. One must be frank and open with Krishna and say, my Lord, there's a very nice poem by Rumi. All your pilgrims on the difficult path to God, know that He will always listen to you. You may be fallen and you may have yet again fallen, but all of you please come to Him. Again and again you may have. Because it's in that turning to Krishna where the bhakti is. Hare Krishna. There was another devotee, I think. Yes. And then Vinuya at the end. Vinuya. Then I think we should close the lecture because time is also there. Yes. Your good name, please.
Hare Krishna, Siddhartha from this.
Shri Dham Gopal. Wonderful.
Maharaj, in Bhagavatam, the prayers of Kunti Maharaj or Bhishma Dev, or even Devendra, actually, they appear so perfect. Although they had actually spoken it spontaneously, without spending a lot of time in composing and all that, but they spoke it very perfectly and every word appears so perfect. In our life, I don't think we'll reach to that perfection ever, or even if we spend a lot of time in composing. So, while praying, is it really that we need to be, prayer need to be really perfect, or not we understand?
Wonderful. Well, it is said we follow the great devotees, you know, we are anugatya, we are subordinate to the great devotees, we follow them, but we can't follow them exactly like they do. They fly on a different heights. We are like little sparrows, but we can follow the direction, not the same heights. And the direction of these prayers is these four elements. When you hear them, the four elements, are you here this evening? Do you have time also? Or is the evening planned? Can you come to the lecture? Good. There you will hear the four elements of prayers. You might like to take a notepad with you, or a mobile telephone where you can make notes. And there are elements which you can do. You will not be able to pray on such a level, but you can have the same, the same principles. There are two types of prayers. One is the prayers which we pray, which are not necessarily, which are not self-composed. That is, there we pray the prayers in the Bhagavatam. They are there for us to pray like them. And then there are also self-composed prayers. What I do is, I always, when I have a prayer session, I usually do the pray the prayers of great acharyas first. I want to please Krishna. And then I do my own prayers afterwards in the same session. That is good. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a wonderful example of this idea. He used to always take darshan of Lord Jagannath from one particular place. Do you know where he stood in the Jagannath Puri temple? Yeah, slightly behind the Garuda Stamba. Do you know why? He felt he was not a devotee, but Garuda was. So the Lord would look to Garuda. Ah, here comes Hare Krishna, please sit down. He would look to Garuda and he would then see him standing just next to Garuda. You know, that was his idea. So this idea is a principal idea of bhakti. We follow the great devotees who please Krishna, and then the Lord will see us and become attentive to us. You know? A wonderful point, isn't it? Yeah, praying the prayers of great devotees is something like standing behind the Garuda pillar. Gut, Venu, ja, was ist deine total durchdachte, intelligente Frage?
Herr Krishna, this is a Mahamudra business. Thank you very much for being with us. You said Krishna cannot be gained by much sadhana, and Krishna wants our love and affection. And I experience like this, that I need much more rounds, that my heart becomes softer at all, and that bad qualities come on the surface. And also it's my main relationship, and I want to spend more quality time with Krishna, and I also feel totally dependent on these
connection with the Super Soul and my daily life and for the daily guidance. And my question is, can I please the Lord in such a case with more rounds?
It's definitely nice to chant more rounds. Full stop. The effect of chanting rounds, which are quantity rounds, is that as you chant, you will eventually wake up to the fact that I need to also put quality rounds here. So then you try to chant quality and quantity rounds, no? And that's very good. Then you, Prabhupada once said, as you come closer to Krishna, and by chanting you come closer to Krishna, one day you see him. So you chant, yes, so please chant quantity and quality rounds. I think this is all I want to say to you. You know, one has to understand when one gives answers to a person, where does the person stand? What can he or she understand at this stage? What has he or she heard before? What is the mental setup, the psychology of a person? And then one can hope to encourage it. So try when you chant quantity rounds, try to also chant quality rounds. No? And then you are very much on the safe side. At the same time, I would like to give you a thought which is perhaps new to you. In worldly religion, there's such a big thing behind it. This was the main point of contention in Christianity. Can I, like the Catholic belief said, if I do this, is God obligated to give me his favor, his mercy? The Catholic belief said, die Seele aus dem Fegefeuer springt, wenn das Geld im Kasten klingt. you do something, you, as if you pay him, and then you come out of your hell. That's what they say. Now, Martin Luther, who started this total new idea, said, no, we are already loved the way we are because we are God's children. And he's not dependent. No, this love is not dependent on works. One professor, a Lutheraner, a friend of ours, he said, ich bin nicht meine Werke. I'm not my works. I'm not loved be. Now the same discussion is going on in Vaishnavism in South India. The Tenkalai and the they have names, and they are fighting. Now we as Gaudiyas think, if the human being can do something to oblige, verpflichten in Deutsch, God to do something, it means he's stronger than God, which is not the fact. We are always dependent on the mercy of the Lord. After having said this, this is a new idea, you will have to put it somewhere and think about it, and it will take a few years before you engage with the thought. Let's go back to the devotee in Krishna consciousness who's practicing perhaps for 7 years now, Yes, chanting is the main way. No other way reaches the Lord. That is also there. The spiritual subject is very sukshma, very fine. There are many things to consider at the same time. I also believe in increasing quantity rounds. I strongly believe in it. I like it. I want to come to the point where Prabhupada said the chanting of the holy name. One guest asked him, when you chant, does the chanting go on also in your heart? And Prabhupada's answer, but he was surprised that someone would ask this question. He said, why not? In the beginning, then he gave a second answer. He said, yes, it goes in the heart always. And then he gave an example. When someone tells us a bad word, insults us, oh, you are bad, we keep that word in the heart. Don't we? When there is a very unpleasant communication, also ein unerfreuliches Gespräch, that turns in our heart. So shouldn't the holy name turn in our heart? That is where we wish to come. That's my goal. That it's always there. Hare Krishna. And for this, you need to chant regularly in all situations. Germans always sing in the bathroom. I always sing in the bathroom. Since I'm a child, I'm accustomed to sing in the bathroom. When the water comes, the cold water, then I go like, but I also want to chant whether I'm good or whether I'm bad, whether I'm in exalted moods or whether I'm struggling. I want to sing, be with the holy name, be with Krishna. And that's, I'm training for that. And therefore I sing, I like to go to kirtan, so I sing outside of the kirtan. I ask Gokrishna often about melodies because I forget melodies, but he does not. And you know, like this, so I want to learn this. And yes, increase. Hare Krishna. Good. Thank you very much, everyone. I hope it is, you know, we engage with the subject matter, no? We have to think about it a little bit, and I'm trying to help in this way. And the evening comes second part of this lecture. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.